Dads do some really stupid stuff. But overall, it's really good to be a man sometimes. Why men love being men, I've got a top 10 list. And I think the first one is we can open our own jars. As guys, we love to do that. You know, we just open them things. Sometimes I'll run into a rarity, and if I can't open it, instead of asking Kish, I'll throw it away. And we'll just move on from there. Just they'll never know about it. Another one is the same hairstyle lasts for years, maybe even decades. Guys hate to change their hairstyle, especially if you lost it. It's going to stay that way for a while. Another favorite of mine is on the number three list is underwear is $10 for a three-pack. It's just, you know, those things, you get a bulk pack, you can buy them in bulk even at Sam's, and they'll just last you forever. Another one is number four is car mechanics tell us the truth. With ladies, they always just seem to get the runaround, but guys, they just, I don't care if you don't know a thing about your car, if you're a guy, most likely they'll tell you the truth. And then number five is gray hair and wrinkles add character, as opposed to women who always worry about it. Guys think it's part of their character, you know, gray hair. And the number six, this is an interesting one, is if another guy shows up at a party with the same outfit, you might just become lifelong friends. Because how odd is it that somebody's going to show up wearing the same thing? That means you've got the same great taste. And he's like, hey, he's kind of cool because he likes the same thing I have. As opposed to women, they get really dreadful about it and just they just almost leave the party. Another one, and this is a problem that I have at home, and Kish always is trying to correct me. Number seven is we always or we're totally unable to see the wrinkles in our clothes. I mean, it's hanging up in the closet. You pull it out, pull it on. If it's clean, if it doesn't smell bad, it's good. But then when Kish always has to stop me and say, Eric, you didn't fold that when you put it on the hanger. It's like, well, you know, the gravity will pull it down. The gravity will pull the wrinkles down during the day, and it doesn't matter. So, you know, guys are just totally unable to see wrinkles. Another one is one wallet, one pair of shoes, one color for all seasons. Guys are always Walmart shoppers. It's just easy to please. You know, we don't have a closet full of 10,000 shoes. And another one, this is one my dad's really bad at, is we can do our nails with our pocket knife. Now, the grandkids kind of get grossed out at this because, for one, it's just seeing him doing his nails with a pocket knife. But it's another thing to see him, after he does his nails with a pocket knife, to wipe it on his pant leg and then cut his sandwich in two. So the grandkids really get grossed out about that. But I get a big kick out of it because, I, you know, that's just the way our family does stuff. And finally, number 10 is the best one of all, and I like this one because I do it every year. Christmas shopping can be accomplished for 25 people on the day before Christmas and in 45 minutes. Guys, let's hear it. Guys, who's with me on this one, 45 minutes is all it takes. I don't care what kind of card it looks. If it says Christmas on it, it's good. Stick some money in it, and let's get to go. But sometimes fathers do things that make it difficult for the family to accept, and especially if you have teenagers or children on their way to becoming adults in the house with you. And many times, teens sometimes choose the area of friends over the area of father's advice in the area of concerning matters of what they make decisions upon. And if you're the leader of the house, this becomes particularly volatile at times at the point for any father because he is the decision maker of the house. Now, as fathers, we interpret the phrase that many of you guys have ever heard, blood is thicker than water. Okay, and that's the meaning of relationships. That means simply means relationships are stronger and superior to than any other kind of relationship. Now, when pressed to decide between family and others, if you have a good friend, family always prevails. And then there's times when this philosophy is really sound, but there's sometimes times when this philosophy doesn't work that good. And such was in the case of our scripture today. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, it's in the Old Testament. We've been going through 1 Samuel quite a bit. It's got a lot of good stuff in there. But 1 Samuel chapter 20, and I'll just want to read 10 verses out of chapter 24, or verse 24. 1 Samuel chapter 20, starting with verse 24. And it starts out saying, so David hid in the field, and when the new moon came, And the king sat down to eat food. And the king sat on a seat as usual, the seat by the wall. And then Jonathan rose up, and Abner sat down by Saul's side. But David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul did not speak anything that day, for he thought, it's an accident. He's not clean. Surely he's not clean. He's somewhere else. And it came about the next day, that the second day of the new moon, that David's place was empty. So Saul said to Jonathan, his son, why has the son of Jesse not come to the meal either yesterday or today? And Jonathan then answered Saul and said, David earnestly asked to leave to go to Bethlehem. For he said, please let me go, since our family is a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to attend. And now if I have found favor in your sight, please let me get away that I may see my brothers. For this reason he has not come to the king's table. Then Saul's anger burned against Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you're choosing the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your father's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Therefore now send me and bring him to me, for he must surely die. And Jonathan answered to Saul his father and said to him, why should he be put to death? What has he done? And then Saul hurled his spear at him to strike him down. So Jonathan knew that his father had decided to put David to death. And then Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did not eat food on the second day of the new moon, for he was grieved over David because his father had dishonored him. Jonathan was caught between his father, Saul, who was blood, and David, who was his best friend, who was water. How would he decide between the two? There was some static there. There was some static. Jonathan wanted to see God and his father, but he knew God's spirit rested on David instead. It kind of reminds me of the little third grade girl when the teacher asked them to draw a picture of God. The little girl turned in the picture and she showed the teacher, and the teacher said, wait a minute, that looks like a man, that's not God. And the little girl said, well, I don't know what God looks like, but this is a picture of my daddy, and surely God must look something like my daddy. For your kids to see Father in God, and they got to see some God in their father, such as the little girl. And when fathers become consumed with themselves, the only thing they can see is what you are at that time in your life, and that depends on where you are at in your relationship with God. And sometimes that can be a crapshoot. It could be good or it could be bad. And such was in the case in my life. I mean, the times that I wasn't close to God determines and affects my decisions for my family and my children, because if I'm close to God, it's going to be totally different than when I'm not close to God. And when the new moon festival arrived and Saul noticed David was absent, Saul was supposedly that David was unclean or did something that he couldn't attend, so he blew it off. And one wonders if Saul became so delusional at this point that he couldn't clearly see the reason for David's avoiding him. David was trying to stay away from Saul because he knew he wanted to kill him. And Jonathan was trying to protect him. Remember, like I mentioned a while back, Saul was overcome with this evil spirit now. The spirit of God had left him and settled on David. And Saul was being run by this evil spirit. But the next day, however, David was absent again, and Saul was asking where David was, and Jonathan tried to explain and tried to cover for David, and it still didn't work, but because Saul was not satisfied with this explanation. He became angered at Jonathan, using profane language at his mother, and of him for that matter. And again, Jonathan pleaded David's innocence, but Saul attempted to kill David by throwing a spear at him. Now, I don't know how many times that you become angry at your children, but Saul was consumed with himself to the point of his anger. And in a father's anger, do they do things that they often regret most? Ephesians 6:4 says, do not provoke your children to anger. It mentions fathers. Why? You know, I read that and I thought, why doesn't it mention mothers? Fathers. It's in a father's anger with his children that sometimes he doesn't make the best decisions. And such was Saul with his son Jonathan when he hurled a spear at him. Sometimes we have to get on the same frequency. And sometimes if we're not on the same frequency, then it just doesn't work sometimes. Sometimes the radio works. Brother, sometimes are static, where you're almost on that channel. And by just a simple move, you're on the channel. It's just a simple move like that. I move away. It's staticky. And this is so easy with fathers to do, is being on the same frequency as your children. And it was just the other day when my mother had told me that I was off frequency with my child. My child felt that I wasn't spending enough time with her, that I was doing other things. And so I had to get back on frequency with my child. And it makes a world of difference because I spent the day with her, I spent the evening with her, took her out for a movie, we spent time with the gym, and it made a world of difference. Spent that whole weekend, that's where I was last weekend, matter of fact, doing something at my work, but I took Laren with me and spent the whole weekend with me, and it made a world of difference. And sometimes, even when you're on frequency, sometimes when you're on frequency, it can just be something little to knock it off. And the frequency gets changed. Have you ever had somebody try to knock your frequency off, Dad? Something comes in your life and your frequency gets changed. It kind of gets you off channel and then it's just static. Maybe it's time to turn your dial back. And as I'm growing older now, I think back on my dad and I'm growing to love my father even more than now that I'm older. Because as a teenager, I really wasn't that hot about my dad. He wasn't a big issue in my life. Matter of fact, I carried a chip on my shoulder for most of it. And it wasn't now until I'm older that I'm realizing and looking at him as a father and as a friend. He was my father as the enforcer back as a teenager, but he wasn't my friend. I would much rather have shared my heart and things with my mother more than I would my father. And as I talk to some people like Adam and other people, I know my brother-in-law, they just honored their parents. Their father was just like this pinnacle. And I thought, man, that must be kind of cool. I wish I could do that. But I just didn't have that. Just didn't have that view of him. Because there's a big difference between a father and a dad. A father isn't a dad because he hasn't given you life or just because your mother is his wife. If you have a problem, a father may not care. A dad will ask you about the problem and let you know that he's there. A father thinks that respect is due him rightly. A dad knows what respect is and it should not be taken lightly. A father may be too busy to take time to talk with you, but a dad will make the time no matter what else he has to do. Your father is your father, and that's his stand, but your dad may be your father, and he can also be your best friend. And when it's time to go to bed, a father will tell you, then turn out the light. But a dad will tuck you in and tell you good night. Your father and your dad may not be one and the same. A stepfather can be your dad, if only in name. Still wonder what makes a father a dad? I've given you all the answers I had. Your father is the one that gave you a life, a start. And your dad is the one that remains in your heart. A father of those, and he's also a father, and for those of you that the father has passed away, God promises in Psalm 68:5, it says, a father to the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation. If you've lost your father, he's still there for you to give you that guidance and direction that you need. What would happen if you had a chance to talk with your father once again if your father's not with you? If you could talk with someone who's been dead maybe for 30 years, and if you could talk with him. Or perhaps for those of you that have not spoke with your father in some time, what would happen if you did, if you had a chance to? I'd like to show you another DVD segment. It's about a rare phenomenon, a rare atmospheric phenomenon that allows a New York City firefighter to communicate with his son 30 years in the future via a shortwave radio. And the son uses this opportunity to warn the father of his impending death in a warehouse fire and manages to save his life. And the son, John Sullivan, who's played by Jim Caviezel, the guy that played Jesus in The Passion, he uses this odd phenomenon to talk with his dad, Frank Sullivan, who's played by Dennis Quaid, to catch up on the events he's missed during his life. And as you watch this clip, think about your father, and what would you tell him if you had missed out the chance to do so? What would you say, given the rare opportunity to do it?
John. John Sullivan, are you there? Come on, answer me. Chief. Chief, are you there?
I'm right here, Daddy.
Come here. Where's Elvis?
Sleeping.
Sleeping? Why aren't you sleeping?
You woke me up.
I did. Hey, I got an idea.
What's that?
All right, Chief. What do you say we tame this bronco, huh?
I'm scared.
I know. You know what? I'm gonna be right here with you. Always.
Daddy, I can't.
Well, we can. We can do it together. You and me. Spirit and guts. What do you say?
Okay.
All right. Now, just take your time. I'm not going to let go until you say it's okay.
Okay.
All right? All right, stop pedaling. That's it. Get your balance. Ready?
Wait!
Okay, okay, I'm still here.
Okay!
All right. It's all you.
Look at me!
It's all you. It's all you, Chief.
Look at me, Dad.
Hey, hey, look at you. You're doing it. Look at you.
Doing it.
Hey, 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 you're doing it.
Doing it.
How's it feel?
Good.
Huh? Hey, look at your balance. Sullivan?
It's me.
You're the voice of an angel. Reached right out of heaven and you pulled my butt out of the fire.
Tell me I'm not dreaming here. Tell me it's really you.
It's me, John. This ain't no dream.
But how could it be?
I don't know. I don't know. But we gotta be talking off the mother-son spot of all time. Yeah, I'd say so.
You okay, Chief?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You sure?
It's tough to explain. I mean, I got all these new memories, but it's like I don't know what to believe.
What do you mean?
Because I still remember what it was like when you died in the fire. But I'm the only one.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
I remember both at the same time. It's like waking up from a dream and you're not sure what's real. I remember you being here, but I also remember when you weren't.
I'm sorry, John. I'm sorry. I never thought that...
Well, you gotta think about that.
And you gotta be more careful, Chris. I can't lose you again. Not like that.
You won't, John. You won't. I swear to God, no matter what. Not like that. You got it? You hear me? You hear me, Chief?
I hear you.
So how old are you?
I'm 36.
36? You're all grown up. You got me married and everything.
No, I'm not married.
Why, were you too busy playing ball?
No, it didn't work out. I gave it up. What happened? I just blew my arm out my senior year and didn't have a shot.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Johnny. I know that had to hurt.
Yeah. Thanks.
So, what'd you wind up doing? Did you join the department?
Actually, I went the other way. I'm a cop.
You're third generation firefighter. Come on, I thought you were gonna grow out of that cop phase.
Well, you got Satch to thank for that one.
You gotta be kidding me, huh? Satch? Well, he always was crazy about you ever since you were born.
Still my little chief. Right?
Right?
Yeah, I'm trying to be. I'm trying.
Well, tell me about yourself.
Tell me about your life.
I mean, where do I start, you know?
Mustang? I don't own a Mustang.
I know you will, and you loved it. Fire engine red.
Yeah.
4-4.
And home runs.
Anyway,
it's a record that'll never be broken.
I wouldn't be too sure. The other guy hit 66.
Really? You mean like those big field radios they use in the Army?
No, much smaller. Works off a satellite or something. Carry it around in your pocket. Hey, what about Apollo? How did it all work out?
It was a great series, Pop. Amazing.
So we win, right?
Hold your horses, I'm getting there.
Game 3. Asia came through. Homered off Palmer in the second.
I knew it. I knew AG was going to have a great series. Forget about AG. Wait till you hear what happened to Cleon Jones.
Now you sound like your mother.
I'm serious.
Oh, come on. Your grandfather, he smoked, what, 2 packs a day, and he's still kicking.
Not you.
It's going to get the better of you. Okay.
Well, I just knew. She melted my heart, and that was it. You got anybody?
Yeah. Kinda. Something I gotta work out, but she's worth it. Now you, go ahead and you, get some rest. I'm tired too.
I almost don't want to click off here. Like, maybe we won't get this back.
We will.
Okay. I'll be here tomorrow.
I know.
sometimes we miss the opportunity to talk with our fathers. Like you just saw on the DVD, even though they're still alive. Because many of us, sometimes things happen in our lives and events happen, and sometimes it prevents us from seeing the individual as they truly are. Sometimes something will happen between the father and their child or something, and that obstacle will be there and blocking that relationship for a long time. And if both of you are stubborn and refuse to work it out, that obstacle will remain there. And through time and weathering and events, that obstacle slowly crumbles. And if you're lucky, both of you will still be alive, so by the time that obstacle wears down through time, you can still see each other for who you truly are, as each one of you in your own way and likings. In verse 34, the event rose between Saul and his dad, where he hurled the spear at him, and he was dishonored. He felt dishonored by his father and for rejecting his best friend David, and by public humiliation. And Jonathan finally found out a truth about his father, that he really was trying to kill David, his best friend. And he left. The Bible says he left in fierce anger. But his anger was mixed with his grief at his father's shameful treatment of David. And following the agreement upon the method, David informed Saul's reaction. And of course, those of you that have read the story, know the story when Jonathan and David meet out in the field and cry bitterly because they know they have to separate their friendship. Jonathan didn't live to the according interpretation of the phrase, blood is thicker than water. He lived by another principle, and that's loyalty. He was loyal to his father. A sense of truth and a sense of justice and a sense of obedience to God. And many times teens today and children that are on their way to becoming adults wish their father knew things about them before just waiting until an emergency arises to take care of the things. Fathers seem to want to fix problems right away when working through things with their child. But really, instead of a quick fix, they want the opportunity to work through their problem with them. And this is called discipleship. Most people think discipleship is limited to the church growth and your knowledge in God's Word. But true discipleship was illustrated by Jesus, not only in what he taught his disciples through the Mosaic Law. I mean, I don't really find anywhere in the Scriptures where Jesus sits down with his disciples in a Bible study and says, okay, today we're going to read Leviticus and talk about the ways of uncleanliness. That's one of my interesting chapters. And he just didn't do that with his disciples. I don't see any Bible study that he had. He lived his example of discipleship and showed his disciples. And your teenager, whether in high school, college, or on their way to becoming adults, silently yearns to be discipled by their fathers, their stepfathers, or any male adult who takes an interest in their life and the things that are important to them. And I'd like to share with you real quickly five things that teens wish their fathers knew. And number one is, I question a lot of things that I used to question, did not question. A big part of growing up is learning to think for oneself. They start to realize, and this is probably the saddest day of any dad, and I know it was me, is when your child realizes that you're not Superman anymore. And that you're not secretly Batman. To any father, that's probably the worst day, because, you know, it's just like, wow, they see me for who I really am now. And teens who were very obedient as a child, they may start questioning things, and that sometimes causes a rift. This questioning process that they do is very healthy and normal. And to stay available to them. I mean, even as an adult, we often realize that things don't magically happen with God, and things come as a result of faith. And when one first becomes a child of God, everything seems new and looks easy until one day there's no more cookies and Kool-Aid like you used to get in vacation Bible school. That things arise and you realize that there really is an enemy out there that's trying to downfall you. And when you first become a true Christian, everything's magical. But as you grow older, you start to question things. God, why is this happening to me? Why don't you take care of this? Number two is things are changing and I can't tell you why. They may start feeling around uncomfortable around friends of the opposite sex. The two children that you used to go over to the neighbor's house and they used to play games together, right? And, you know, as they're teenagers now, now is a little bit different. They may start wanting posters on the wall that you don't approve of, and mostly they just feel that they just need to become themselves. They become short-tempered and tend to raise their voice a lot around you. And as a father, you need to teach them, though it's hard, changing hormones and flashpoints that the teenagers or people get, they can be avoided and controlled. Even as adults, as Christians, we go through some growing pains and changes that take place while God's transforming us that we can't control, but we can control the reaction to those changes in our lives that He brings about to help grow us. We learn how to react to people instead of the circumstance. I always get a kick out of Adam's road rage story when he says he's driving and the guy cuts in front of him and he's just giving him what for and just doing, giving him all kinds of sign language. And as the guy drives by, he's just driving by whistling, didn't even see a thing Adam did. And all these things, you know, that Adam did, he just exasperated himself for nothing. And he realized then how to control himself around circumstances, not let circumstances take control of him. And number three is sometimes, I just want you to listen. Dads often tend to want to be the problem solvers and jump right into a conversation with advice. This is one of my downfalls that I do as a father. I always want to tell them how to fix it. But try to resist that temptation sometimes and just listen. Because many times, conversations between parents and teenagers is a chance for the teen just to kind of work it out while you're just listening in. And sometimes they'll solve their own problems. All that you have to do is just kind of nod your head and listen. And give them a chance to learn to deal with life's issues rationally and reasonably without you just jumping in right away to fix it. Well, here's how to do this. Because even as adults, we usually want to fix something that God has given us and wants God to fix something. And as a good father, sometimes He lets us fix it or learn on our own that we can't do it by ourselves. And number four is I need you to be consistent. And while teens rebel often at parental authority, they expect and feel most comfortable when parents stick by a rule and behave constantly. Don't constantly try to change your curfews. Have a rule, stick with it, and the consistency will help give your teen something to rely on, and maybe like an anchor in the storm of life. Now, I'm not saying that they'll like it. But if you're firm and stick with what you got, it gives them an anchor whether they realize it or not. I know even in our household, we don't like our children to watch MTV because it just has all kinds of crazy stuff on it. And so whenever we actually walk by the bedroom or something and they're just channel flipping and kind of hang on it a while, we'll just say, Laren or Haley, you know. Well, this kind of backfires because one night I was channel flipping and I just saw something crazy on MTV and I'm just watching it kind of with my mouth open and it wasn't no time when Laren walks through the kitchen and just kind of glances at it and, Dad! What? You know better. I'm doing research, Laren. I got to watch this thing so I can see what they're telling teens not what to do. So it backfires on you sometimes. And just because it doesn't seem fair to you doesn't mean that He's not God and He sees fit not to do it, because sometimes we're that way with God. God has some strict things that He wants us to do, and sometimes we just don't see the fairness of it, but God's actually wanting to instill some solid things in your life. And the last one is walk your talk, because your teens get frustrated when the parents say one thing and they do another. Keep your commitments, because they would rather have no promise than a broken one. Let me say that again. Your children would rather have no promise than a broken one. Even as adults, God is faithful and just. There's nothing that He lies to you about and nothing He'll let you down on, because the Word of God in Hebrews 13:8 says, I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So why is it hard for teens to communicate with their father, perhaps even to show them their feelings? Why? Perhaps they feel judged because they see their father as the enforcer in the family. That's the way I kind of viewed my father. And if you're unable to find it in your life, perhaps, to honor your father, maybe you can show your love to him as Jonathan did through loyalty to him. Because even though Jonathan knew that his father was wrong about the perception of David, his best friend, he still remained loyal to his father. Let me show you how loyal he remained to his father. Click over to chapter 31 real quick of this 1 Samuel. Sometimes honor is hard to give to a father, perhaps, if you've grown up with a father that's been only after his best interest and didn't seek things of God, perhaps. So maybe you're having a hard time honoring your father, but loyalty is there. Because you'll find out in chapter 31 how loyal Jonathan was by reading, "Now the Philistines were fighting against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines overtook Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua and the sons of Saul, and the battle went heavily against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was badly wounded by the archers. And then Saul said to his armor bearer, 'Draw your sword, pierce me through it, lest these uncircumcised ones have come and pierce me and make sport of me.' But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. So Saul took his sword and fell on it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died with him. Thus Saul died with the three sons, his armor bearer, and all his men on that day together." Jonathan had the choice of leaving his father and joining David. Could have very easily done that. He said, "David, I realize you're God's anointed, you're going to be the next king. I'm out of here. Dad's a crazy old man. He tried to kill me the other day with a spear." But he chose to remain loyal to his father. Jonathan honored his father as position of king, and he was loyal to him. And he was loyal even unto the point of death. He died by his father's side. Now that's a hard thing to do with a father that tried to kill you. To die by your father's side, to have that much loyalty. What legacy are you leaving for your children? How loyal will they be to you? Will they be just like you? And if they will be just like you, be careful. Take a look.
A child arrived just the other day. Came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it, and as he
Whose world are yours? Whose world do you make? Dads have the ability, the unique ability to do that. Mothers have a great, great, awesome contribution to the family. But fathers have a unique way also. They can make someone's world and have the ability to shape it. In the middle of honor and loyalty lies the glue that holds those together, and that's love. Jonathan honored and loved and was loyal to his father. He didn't just mouth it with a sappy card and a gift certificate inside. He was loyal to his father even unto the end, standing side by side fighting the enemy. And he took his stand beside his father even unto death. And as we give honor to our fathers today, perhaps, maybe you need to adjust your frequency. Maybe you need to reaffirm your loyalty to your father. What is it perhaps you need to say to your father? Are you following in his footsteps? This is the song you just saw. Are you so focused on what your father has done in your life that you find yourself slowly becoming as he is? Or have you overcome that? Fathers, perhaps you need to open your eyes and ears to your child to get on the same frequency. Maybe your dial is just a little bit off, just like I showed you on the radio. Maybe your frequency has been off, or maybe you've been frustrated or can't even find, they're having problems finding the right channel that your child or teenager is on. Is all they hear from you is static? Perhaps in this message you've seen that your communication has been faulty with the Father above, maybe. Maybe your life's cool with your dad, but sometimes the static has gotten into the Father above, and you need to reconcile with the Father because you've been distanced from Him because you think that you've already been judged. And you look at God as the enforcer instead of someone that has the ability to change your world. Whatever the thing is that you need to do, I'd ask you to do it today. Everybody, would you please stand with me? Father, as we come to you today in worship and honoring our fathers, I just ask a blessing upon our fathers to be the spiritual leaders of their families, to show them the frequency they need to be on to have harmony and music within their families. Father, please be with us today as fathers as we set out in a world of many channels to find the right one that we need to be on. Father, speak to us now. Speak to our hearts. And let be known what you need to be known. So our counselors come forward to speak and pray with any fathers here, perhaps any children need to reconcile with their father. Today is the day to do that. Perhaps as a father, you just need to take your child, come to the altar, and to verify the fact that you're the spiritual leader and that you will make this firm foundation in their life to set them on course. The many channels that they'll face. And as you saw in the DVD clip earlier, that no matter how long the time may span, they'll always find that right frequency to talk and to get hold of you. That they'll know that they'll have a dad instead of one. Whatever you need to do today, don't let this day go by without. Thank you. Mm-hmm.